So when I was in the service, and then just for the military, Donna, can you move that lamp down there?
It's on my phone.
Oh, I feel like it's blocking those guys. That way, if they're sleeping, I can focus in on them. When I was in the military, and Jason, you'd be able to test this too, there is always the saying that you sweat in peace so you don't have to bleed in war. And so it's always the preparation of going through it. And it used to frustrate me because we would have to do so much. It was almost to the point where you could almost see it, where people going into the military, by the time war comes around, you're like, oh, thank goodness we're tired of the preparation. Because that's all you do. You're just constantly gearing up for it. And why? Because if you go too long, you had to do it. There was a lot of tasks that we would have to do every 6 months. And you have to do them again. And you're like going, golly, has it already been 6 months? I have to go through this and do this again. And it was basically like an assessment to get everything back, to make sure you knew exactly what was going to happen. Then they would do drills where they would just, you know, all of a sudden, here we go, we're doing this. And now you have to put that into practice that, okay, now we're going through the motions. Even though we're not going into war, we're still doing these motions. And so the same thing for us, for our lives, I look at that as well, that we have to do self-assessments of ourselves and be able to get ourselves, hey, where's my shortcomings, where's my weaknesses, what do I need to work on, and follow through to be able to project where you're going. It's one of the things that you see a lot of people who are very successful, that they have an agenda and a plan, and they know where they're supposed to be in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year, and in 5 years. And then so many other people, and me, I've been that guilty of that before too, where you don't have any time things, you're just kind of enjoying things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you see where the body of Christ, where we should be setting ourselves, saying in 3 months, in 6 months, in 1 year, in 5 years, where I want to be and what courses of action I'm taking to make it to get to that point. Okay? So we can kind of do a little study of that while we go through here tonight. We will be using the Rotherham Bible. Okay? Also, I would refer you over to Telios Ministries. Here is the webpage here for any additional information or any contact information that a person would like any extra work with it. Our charitable contribution is Joshua Generation, and it's www.joshuagen. It's a 501c3, so it is a tax qualified for people who do donate to it, and that goes to help the widows and the father the widows and the fatherless. And so as we get started here, I'm going to start with a quote from D.L. Moody. The scriptures were not given for our information, but our transformation. And I thought that's good because so many times I'd hear Bill O'Reilly, you know, that the Bible is written for a historical record. And I'm like going, and a lot of people believe that, and there's a lot of Christians that actually believe that as well, and it's not. There's a lot of history in there, and there's genealogy in there, and a lot of those things that people say about that, you can pull that from there, but that's not the intent of it, okay? It's our guide, our roadmap for living. And it does not go out of date, because what we saw thousands of years ago is what we still see today. We still see the exact same thing. So people look at it and say, well, it's outdated, the Old Testament, it's so old. No, it's a repeat. Everything's still in there, all taken care of. So I promise this will not be a beat down or a drag here, but we're going to talk about five stages of grief. Because as we go through there, I think what happens is when a person goes through grief, and a lot of times this will be something reflected upon a death of somebody, but I'm using this to say, hey, at any point, when there would be an accident, say within the military, first thing they do is they go back and they do an investigation to find out. And they're looking for all the different links in that chain that at any point it could have stopped. They could have stopped it and rescued the entire thing. And all these things that they come through, they'll find out this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And if any one of those events would have changed, it would have stopped the entire accident from ever happening. And it's normally from people not paying attention, not following the directives, these types of things. And so that's what they're trying to do, and that's why we do so much practice. Same thing when we go into the stages of grief. If you find yourself into one of these and you're like going, what the hell is going on? This is a self-awareness to check. Hey, wait a second. I need to pull myself out. I need to grab myself by the bootstraps and get going. First one is denial and isolation. Second one is anger, that you become, and so this is pretty accurate when a person goes through there. I saw a comedy routine that a guy did. He did a really good job with this, you know, kind of joking around about this whole process, but it's very accurate. Then it becomes a bargaining, you know, where if only this would have happened, or if only this could take place, or all these things, what's going on, why am I in this predicament type of a deal, followed by depression, okay? followed by acceptance. Okay, and acceptance basically is to the end where you're just like, you know what? That's just how, I guess just how it's going to be. And so you see believers that way, where they want to stand out and they want to be the one to get out of the boat and walk on water, and then they fail. And they, what happened? I can't do this. All these things. And so then they get to the point where, well, I'll just accept. I'll accept what I am, that I can't do anything. I'm powerless. I'm just powerless. And I'm like going, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's why I say you can always reset this and start back over again to try to pull a person out. Renewing the mind is what I've called this. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. And that's from Joyce Myers. When I pulled up the quotes on Google today, she had a book, and it's called Battlefield of the Mind. And she had some really good quotes and some really good stuff on. I know, Donna, you've watched some of her show with that. But this is one of those things about winning the battle over your mind. So let's start off in 1 Peter. Call out a page there, kiddos.
239.
All right, 1 Peter. So one of you kids are there. Give everybody else a minute to get to it. What'd you say, page 239, right? Give the adults a chance to get there, and then one of you kids. Who'd like to read it? Okay, Melania, I'll let you start off. Okay, but wait just a minute for everybody.
Me.
I thought you were there.
I was.
I'm reading up the picture.
All right, Wayne, you'll be ahead on the next one there. Okay, everybody's there, sweetheart. Go ahead.
What's
up? 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13.
Wherefore,
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wherefore, gritting up the lions.
Loins.
Loins of your mind. Keeping sober.
Perseveringly
direct your hope unto the favor of being
born
along to you in the revealing of Jesus Christ.
That's it. Very good. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit. We're going to pull this apart just a hair. The girding, okay, as we look at these, because it's a unique way of stating something. Girding up the loins of your mind. That's not something that you normally would hear, but it's specific that as he's writing that this is the word of Yahweh. And so we see this. The girding is, you see, basically to be prepared. And what that was they would bind tight the clothes so that it would not restrict you when you were ready. So you'd be ready to move quickly. That's the phrase. That's where that comes from. The loins portion of this here is what they would refer to as where the reproduction was. And so the newness, the new life, the newness coming through, and obviously your mind is basically saying what your understanding or your reasoning or your rationale. And so underneath here, this is one of the textual comments in the online Bible program that I have. It says the meaning here is that they were to have their minds in constant preparation to discharge the duties or to endure the trials of life like those who were prepared for labor, for a race, or for conflict. Okay? And so this is what it's calling us to do. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind. And so this is not a one-time process. And this is what you see with successful people. They're constantly doing this to keep themselves engaged, ready to go, ready to jump, and be ready for the next move. Go to Romans 12.
Page 161.
All right. Thank you.
And I will be there ahead of time.
Yeah, and I will let you read here, but wait until everybody gets there. 161.
That's why you print these out.
12, verse 2, and give everybody a second.
She's still going to be there. That's why you print them out.
Okay.
So you know, once you finish the verse, you turn.
Okay.
All right, verse 2, 12, verse 2.
Should I go? Okay.
You are up, buddy.
And to not configuring yourselves unto this age, but be transformed yourselves by the renewing of your mind, to end ye may be providing that is the thing willed by Yahweh, the the good and the acceptable and perfect.
That's it, and that's exactly right. So what we're looking at is the transforming, which is the metamorpho. We did this last week, and I've done this before too. Aaron did this part, this scripture in his teaching last week. The renewing of your mind is the understanding. Your understanding is the mind there. And to be proving is to discern, to be able to discern what is being said here. All to be good and acceptable and perfect. And that is the goal as the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be, teleos, to be made up perfect. That is the pinnacle for the Christian, is to work themselves up to that. Now here's the thing, it's just like when you play in school where you play, you know, King of the Hill. Until the next guy comes around and knocks you off. And what's your objective? Oh, I guess I'm done. I'll just go sit out. Or to go back. And no, I'm getting right back up to the top of the hill. And that's the way it is for us. It's a constant battle and a constant renewing. And that's why they're saying this. This is not a one-time deal. It's a continual process. Okay? Renew your understanding. Okay? That's the discernment. Renew your understanding. So as I go through here, I'm going to put just a few points here for things that I came up with and things that I saw and some scripture references as well for getting yourself re-engaged and renewing yourself. And the first one is to re-surrender yourself. As you go through, as a new Christian is on fire, okay, and you see that, that is how we should be, and we should always keep ourselves to where we're kindled, ready to just go, and have that attitude that we're still on fire for Christ. We are ready. We are so enthused by those things. And this is out of Luke. And he, answering, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy Elohim out of all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy intention, and thy neighbor as thyself." Okay, and this is a commandment to do these things, to love with all your heart, okay, and your intentions, and so with your might. And so as you see this, you're like, okay, am I doing that? That's the first step. Yes or no? Have you done this? You know, it's like a physical where you go through and answer the questionnaires. Okay, check yes, no. Have I done this? Or which ones? Where am I having a problem with this? And to re-surrender. This is a new dedication to renew ourselves. Discipline as a living sacrifice, we're commanded. As a living sacrifice, you're like going, well, that sounds no fun at all. You know, but it is. This is the benefits. And again, when we talked about this, I did a teaching a while back ago about what a short time we are on earth versus what we're going to have in paradise. What we're doing, we don't comprehend it, but what's going to happen is we're going to be rewarded, and those rewards are, I mean, it's like putting in a quarter and you come back 100 years later and there's, you know, $50 million in there. And you're like going, holy cow, what happened? And this is it. And this is to be carried on through that time. So it's an never-ending inheritance. Every day we are required to resurrender, resubmit, and realign our mind. Okay? And this is it. This is the renewing. This is what we're going through to do this. To rejoice. The big one here. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I will say rejoice. And so as you look at that, this is where, well, wait a minute. Is this if good times, bad times, or just on Sundays? This is all the time. And so it does not matter what's going on in our lives. This is another thing. To rejoice. To always, again, I say always rejoice. Regardless of the circumstances, Yahweh's joy is transcendent over all disappointments, difficulties, and discouragements. Okay, let's go to Nehemiah 8:10.
Page 486.
All right, good job, kiddos. 486, and I will let one of the other kids read. Anybody else's? Isaiah, would you like to read this one?
You have to really say it loud.
Okay. Or if you don't want to, I can. You're sitting a ways over there. You guys have enough light?
He wants to.
You want to? Go for it, dude. Sound off. Here, you can come read out of mine if you want to. Come read out of mine.
Go.
He's all right. We're good. 810. So we are right here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send
portions
unto them, for whom nothing is
prepared.
For holy is the day unto our Lord, and be not
grieved
for the glory of
Yahweh is your strength.
That's it. Thank you. Good job. So the joy of Yahweh is your strength. It's not for on occasion or when needed or anything else. It's the joy of Yahweh is your strength. And not to be grieved. Not to be grievous. And so it's one of those things where you get that. And I get that way. I find myself where, especially when I'm working on mechanical things, where I find myself getting grieved way too early. And there's lots of broken things here, and I'm sure my family would... I wasn't asking for them, I was just saying there are. And so I find myself in that, and so now I try to disengage when I see that. It's one of those things. Okay, if I go, you know, like the carnival thing where you hit the thing and it rises up, you see?
Yeah.
If I'm shooting up that fast on my anger, something's going on and I need to stop and I need to settle down and disengage from it. And the same way with us, for we have to do that. For when you start getting that where the temper starts to flare up, to be able to disengage and go back to finding the joy in Yahweh and going in and looking in the Word and seeing the things to what we're supposed to be doing. The first one is great, is to rejoice, because when you're ticked off, you know, after I've said a few colorful words because I'm really angry, I'm like, oh, I really need to rejoice and repent right now because that, what the heck is going on? And so it's a way to do that. And when you do that, you'll actually raise your spirits back up because you'll be like going, yeah, I can't believe that just happened. I feel bad for this, and you know what? I'm going to start rejoicing for this. So remember, stop along the way and look back. And this is a big one because you see this all through the Word. After they leave Egypt, and then we're going to die out here. All the things that just took place that they completely forgot that Yahweh took care of them. That happens with us, where all of a sudden all these blessings, one on top of another, take place for us. And then something happens and we're like going, oh my gosh, what is going on? What's happening? And we have to stop and look back. And that's a big one, is to reflect on all the things and recount all the things that Yahweh did. And you look at how many times throughout the Word, Old Testament, New Testament, that Yahweh reminded them, I freed my children. I took them out of captivity. All these things. And if people are reading this going, yeah, but that was 400 years ago. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? And this is showing the faithfulness of Yahweh for the people who were following Him. And that's where we reflect back on all these things. Because by reflecting it, it reminds us and brings back to account the things that have happened, where all of a sudden you're like going, wow, I can't believe I almost forgot that. I can't believe that was in the back of my mind. What am I thinking about? Okay? When we forget the benefits of being in Christ, we tend to go back into self-destructive tendencies. It's like the colander. You're pouring stuff into it, and things constantly going through. And if you're not pouring in the right things into it, the wrong things are going to be coming out. And so this is the same way for us. Remembering what Yahweh does for His people, the deliverance. And so there's a few of them here from Deuteronomy that I put. And if anybody wants any copies of these, you're more than welcome to. But this is where Yahweh's reminding the people of the things. Here's what's going on. The deliverance. And I put the S in there because there's lots of them. Lots of them. Watched over and shielded. Lacked nothing. Okay? When you look at now today with the technology that we have, I have never had a pair of shoes last me more than 2 years. For crying out loud. These guys are walking around the desert for 40 years in the same shoes. Okay, they lack nothing. It didn't say that they did okay and that they survived. They lack nothing. That's a quote. Promises kept, nothing failing, out of Joshua. Look back. Again, look back. This is a call to people to realign, to renew. Remember, the whole purpose of this is the renewing our minds to get ourselves back into check. And by doing that, by looking back... Huh?
Nothing.
Sorry? Did I miss something?
No.
Oh. I thought something else was on there. Look back. When we face difficulties, we sometimes forget Yahweh's past faithfulness. If you need to find it, if you can't find it in your own, ask your family. Look in the Word. It's full of it. It's full of it. And this is where we have to say, well, has Yahweh been faithful to me? Well, I don't know. You know, the droopy D thing. I don't know if He's been faithful to me or not. Well, guess what? Are there people around you that you love that you can see He has been faithful to? Do you love those people? Can you say, well, He's been faithful to me because I love this person.
Yeah.
Therefore, He's been faithful to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, see only the detours and the dangerous path. And that's where it's always easy to see that, to where you just look ahead, you've got we used to laugh because we'd get the toilet paper rolls and we'd put them up and we thought we had binoculars. Yeah. And then your brother could come up behind you and smack you and you had to pull him down and see him. It's that tunnel vision thing where you get fixed on something where you're like going, oh, golly, I can't believe this. And you get into that mode where by looking back, removing that, you can see where I've come from, where I was. I mean, I look back where I was delivering papers when I was a kid. okay, delivering papers in the cold, and then being excited, the most excited person flipping burgers at Burger King at 16 years old because I'm indoors. Yeah. And I look back at that, and I'm like going, do I want to go back there? No. But I can reflect on that where I got hired, and I was jumping for joy going, yes, I get indoor work. Okay, but look back. See the joy of the victory. The challenge of the climb, the presence of Yahweh with you, who has promised never to leave or forsake you. And another one from the book there that I pulled off of Google. Patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's where, by doing that, when you're rejoicing while you're waiting for those things, or you're waiting for Yahweh, I'm counting on this. This has to come through. And you're patient, and you're rejoicing the entire time, it completely changes the playing field. All right, reckon the next one. Hello?
155.
Yes. Okay, which one is it there?
155.
Good job, girl. Do you want to read one of them? I'll let you read it here in just a second. As soon as I get to it, if you give me a minute. Romans 6:10. Do you want to read the first one, first verse? Can you do it?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll read this one here. 6:10-14. Okay, and we're starting on the bottom of page 155, in verse 10 of chapter 6. For in that he died, unto sin died he once for all. This is when I say the reckon portion of this. That what we are doing is we're reckoning. So when we look at this and you hear this, for a non-believer, this makes zero sense. Makes absolutely no sense. How can you be something you're not? Or be delivered from something that I can see you're not? I still know you have sin. I can still see you. I have seen some of your sin. So how can you reckon? And it's a mind thing where we look at that and where we put ourselves in that position. Because the adversary is going to tell you, yeah, no, you don't have that. Okay? Verse 10, for in that he died, unto sin died he once for all. But in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Verse 11, so ye also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Okay? This is a mind thing. We are reckoning, we are reasoning ourselves as to dead into sin. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your death-doomed body. Make sure I don't go too far. That ye should be obedient in its covetings, neither be presenting, and this is a big one, neither be presenting your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but present yourselves unto Yahweh as though alive from among the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness. And so if we have that mindset that we have been raised with Christ from the dead, that Christ hung on the cross and took every sin that could possibly be done and paid for it, and we have that inheritance in where now we are giving this. And now we look at it that we say, but present yourselves basically, present yourself members, that you should be obedient under his covenings. Therefore, reign not in your death-doomed body, that let not sin reign in. That we are carrying ourselves with the knowledge that it's been paid for. Even though that we are still having sin in our lives that we battle with all the time, that if we have it in our mind of what our inheritance is, it changes the entire attitude. Reprogramming ourselves. Okay, this is kind of an interesting thing because I just read an article the other day about Google that there's a major security alert for like 95% of Android phones. And I'm like, oh, golly, great. And so these guys are working around the clock to fix these things. And why? Because a vulnerability has been raised. And so what's happened now, it's been identified, we got to fix it now. And that's the same way that we should be as well. That when we see these things, these vulnerabilities come up, as small or big as they are, that we immediately start on the reprogramming to fix those things. And it's, again, your body moves by direction of your mind. Your mind moves first, your body moves second. Your mind tells your body what to do, to open your mouth, what to speak. Okay? It's the same thing when you're speaking in tongues or prophesying. If you don't open up your mind and say, I believe in this, I have faith in this, and I will do it, and then I do it, and guess what? It's being relayed through you. But your mind leads your body's actions. reprogramming, the negative conditioning in the past. So yes, but there's people who have had horrible upbringings and have all kinds of excuses for being in the predicament they are, and Yahweh says, I paid for it. I paid for all of those. I paid. They're done. It's washed away. You have no crutch to fall onto now to say that because of what you came through. Now, yes, there may be some boundaries you have to and hurdles you have to get over, but again, we have to reprogram our thinking in this. Your thinking should be that of the excellent, the good, honorable, right, true, worthy of praise. And so as we do these things, it changes our attitude. It's a way of renewing, which is what we're going over, a way of renewing our mind. Reprogram your thinking to avoid faulty assumptions which affect decision making. Okay? Don't let in those things that corrupt or put that virus within you to where you... Wait a second, I'm not going to be able to do this. Or you fail once, and now, okay, I failed once, I can't ever do it again.
Yeah.
Stop the cycles of operating under the same old destructive thought patterns. Okay, the breaking of it, the renewing. Renewing of the mind is something that should be done every single day, every day. And it could be multiple times during the day if things are going bad or something else. But it's one of those things where it's a mental decision that I am going to renew myself. I'm going to renew it. Replace the fleshly with the Christ. I had to laugh when I put that down there because I'm like, oh, a couple of adjectives, and I immediately had to think of Nacho Libre with his priestly duties. Can't we have something else? I've had diarrhea since Easter's. For all of you who haven't seen that, now you want to, huh? Well, that's a heck of a trailer. All right, what's the next one there, kiddos?
188.
All right, 188 here. We got a few of them to read. 198. So I'm going to, we'll kind of split this up a little bit there, kiddos. Ephesians 4, 22. I don't hear any pages turning, so everybody must be there already. Outstanding. All right, I'll read the first few, and then I'll let some of the kids read it here as well. Starting in verse 22 of chapter 4, that ye were stripping off as regardeth the former behavior, the old man who corrupteth himself according to his own deceitful covetings, and were to be getting young again in the spirit of your mind. Okay, the course of light in another direction. That's what the young again means, okay? Course of light in another direction. That you were getting young again in the spirit of your mind, and were to be put under, be put on the man of the new mold, who after Yahweh hath been created in his truthful righteousness and loving kindness. So we have been recreated, and we know that because we've been told that as a Christian, you are a new creation.
Well, people look at that like, going,
you tell somebody, I'm a new creation. No, you're not. I knew you before you're a Christian. You're the same old dude. No, I'm not. And what separates you from that? Okay, what separates you from that? Because if the person convinces you that you're not, then, all right, I guess I'm not. I guess I'm the same thing. And that's the renewing. That's where we look at it, where it's a mental thing where we look and say, no, I know the scriptures, I know the words, and I can speak in tongues, and I can prophesy, and I can prove to you that I have these things. Okay, I just read the first couple of them. Why don't we start off in here in 24? Who wants to read 24 and 25 for me?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
And were to put on the man of the new mat.
Mold. Sorry, we already did that one. Go 25 and 26 for me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wherefore, stripping off what is false, be speaking truth, each one with his neighbor, because ye are the members one of another. Ye be ye angry and not committed sin. Let not the sun be going down upon your angry mood.
That's it. Now, who wants to read 27 and 28?
Me.
Do you want to come over here? You can read 27 and 28.
Me? No.
Are you ready to read here?
Esther can't.
Not yet. Okay, I'll let you read one of them here then, okay? You're reading 27 and 28, right here. Neither?
Neither. Be giving place unto the
adversary.
Adversary. Let be the...
Let the stealer?
The stealer no more steal, but rather let him be
toiling
with him.
Working
with his hand the thing that is good, that he may have
wherewith
to be giving away to himself, that hath need
good job, dude. Okay, I got a couple more here. Melania, you want to read 29 and 30? I'll let you read one, too. 29 and 30, Melania, are you there?
Yep.
Okay.
Let no
putrid.
Putrid. Discourse out of your mouth. Be going forth, but if anything is good, suited to the needful abiding.
A building.
That is, that it may give benefit unto them that hear. And be not grieving, Holy Spirit of God, wherewith ye have been sealed unto the day.
A day of redemption. All right, come on up here, honey.
31.
And anger.
And anger.
And outcry. And profane speaking.
Let it be.
Taken away.
From you.
With all. Baseness.
Good job.
All right, and last one, 32. And be gracious one to another, tenderly affectionate, in favor, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh also in Christ hath in favor forgiven you. And so as we look through this, this is what's telling us. This is, we're told on what to do to be coming. So as we go through this, this is all again about renewing ourselves and how to do this and how to place this so that we consider ourselves dead to sin, okay? That we consider ourselves raised again with Christ, that we know that we're a new creation. All these things to be able to help. What are we doing to renew us? It's easy when somebody says, you know, when you're having a down moment, if you will, and somebody says, you need to go renew your mind. And you're like going, yeah, thanks. That's just what I want to hear. Okay? Yeah. But in that, you should maybe like walk away kind of mad. Wouldn't them tell me what to do? I can't believe it. But at the same point, we need to reflect back on that. How do I renew my mind? How do I do that? Because I'm in a funk right now, and I don't want anybody telling me to renew my mind. Okay, that's the last time I want somebody to do it, because obviously I need it. And so when somebody tells me that, it angers me and almost makes me even more to where you become belligerent. And by virtue of that, we need to reflect. What does that mean? And so reanalyze. What does it mean to renew my mind? And that's what we're going through and looking at the scriptures for. Okay, this was out of Colossians. And let the peace of Christ act as umpire in your hearts, unto which ye have been called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And that's what he said. When somebody says, you need to go renew your mind, and they're admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude, raising song with your hearts unto Yahweh. And whatsoever you may be doing in word or in work, all things do in the name of Lord Yahushua, giving thanks unto the Divine Father through Him. And this is again to where we say that, okay, what are we supposed to do? I'm supposed to be admonishing, teaching, singing songs, and gratitude, for crying out loud. And this is why we say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Always rejoice. This is how we do this. This is step one to renewing our mind, is the rejoicing and getting ourselves back in and reflecting back on what we're... Okay, things really aren't that bad. They're not really that bad. As we look at our lives, we say, oh, golly, make this go away. Resist. Be non-conforming to the world. The greatest enemy to renewal, okay, is conformity to the patterns of the world. And even the Christian churches, you see that now, where they're, you know, you have the line that Yahweh's drawn, straight line. Don't go to the left or don't go to the right. And then you have the line that the church goes down. And the farther it gets farther and farther as it beelines off this course. And we see that happening now. And then somebody tries to say, well, I'll reset. And that's the reprogram. The reprogram is to get back onto the line of Yahweh, not to get somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Okay? Not to get somewhere in between, to cut that distance a little bit, but to get back on that line. And this is what we're saying. The world will pull us away. The world is not. We know that we are not. We're in this world, but not of this world. Okay, the flesh, the eyes, the pride that we're supposed to flee from, not to be getting caught up on any of those things. Be not boastful, argumentative, or rude when we are criticized. So even when somebody tells you that, go renew your mind. Okay? No, this is somebody trying to help somebody else out. Be not divisive when we don't get our way. Think it forward. And this is where I was, as I was going through and pondering this, when I started going through to learn to play golf, which I have not yet, but I'm trying to, the people would all tell you, even Garrett, when I played not too long ago, he goes, you have to envision what you're about to do. And I had to laugh when he said that, because if I ever went up to tee off and there was water between me and where the ball had to go, I'd go up there and I'm like going, I'm going to hit this in the water. I'm going to hit this in the water. I'm going to hit this in the water. And then I hit the ball and the ball would go in the water. And you know what? I could just about draw a 10-yard arc around where I thought it was going to hit. And that's pretty much what I did every time. And then it was like going, you know what? No more of that. I'm hitting the ball. It's going right over there. And it's kind of like the Babe Ruth where he would get up there and he'd point out in the outfield where he's going to hit the ball. And people like going, who is this guy going to stand up here and tell us I'm going to hit a home run? I'm hitting it right over there. And then he'd do it. And people were like going, holy cow, check this guy out. Same thing. Think it forward where you're predicting. When I'm shooting the ball up onto the green, I now, instead of just saying, hey, I just want to get up in the middle of the green, I'm like going, it's moving a little bit. It slopes a little bit from the right to the left. The flag's down here. If I drop the ball 4 or 5 yards short, it will roll. Hopefully, it'll roll up. Now, whether it does or doesn't, I've got an extreme game plan on where to hit and where to go. And that's what the pros do. They do exactly that. They hit it and expect it to do it. And that's what we need to do as Christians, where we're doing that 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, where we're saying, what do we want to do? Where do we want to go? Because if you just get out there and smack the ball and have no direction to it, it's going to go somewhere. But to refine that and get it to where you're effective, where you are an instrument of righteousness. Your members are now instruments of righteousness instead of just dead flesh. They were just walking and going through the motions. Think it forward. So now we've looked back. We look at ourselves. We're rejoicing. Now we're looking forward to say, what do I need to do? Where do I go from here? What's my next thing? I want to, by this period, be here. Or I haven't done this. I need to be getting to this point. And we think it through. What's his name? The guy who raised his son from the dead.
Andrew Womack.
Thank you. Andrew Womack said that before he raised his first person from the dead.
Yeah.
Okay, first. I'm not saying that's the one and only. I'm saying before, first person. As we went and listened to him, he said, I had already, in my mind, gone through it, step by step. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what I do. It hadn't happened, and yet here he is. I know what to do. And why? Because I've rehearsed this. Here's this what I do. Here's this what I do. Here's what this what I do. And so as by looking at that, I'm like, oh boy, he thought it forward. He really did, because now he's gone through, and he says, I'm ready for this. This isn't unexpected. Here we go. Let's do it. We're starting here. We're going to this point. That's where we have to be with our lives as well. Think it forward. So all these things, and that's exactly what we did in the military. We did every possible scenario multiple times with multiple outcomes, and then they throw in a few things. Oh, well, we're going to take this away from you. And you're like going, why? Because there's going to be something that comes up that's out of the ordinary, and you have to learn how to deal with those things. That's life. This life. And that's where I say, think it forward. Be ready. Be ready to act. See yourself as Yahweh sees you in the heavenlies. Call your shot attitude, like I just talked about. Your life will not get straightened out until your mind does. If you just wander about and just go through the motions without doing that and just basically taking things as you're dealt, then you're going to have that kind of a life where you're just, okay, what I get dealt, I do. We should be expecting. We know that we are chosen. We know that Yahweh's blessed us and that we are His people. Okay, and we're doing things that a lot of the church is not doing for Yahweh, which blesses Him. He wants to bless us as well. So we try to get ourselves to where we're readjusted.
Page 204.
I was about to say that.
All right, 204.
Make sure you're not missing a teaching. Listen to.
Okay, I need to get to it here. What page you say 204? I don't think I had that one marked in my... Oh, I did. Never mind. I'm sorry. I've got it. Okay, I'm going to have...
Chapter
4. Let's... Melania, why don't you read the first two, and then Elijah, you can finish him off there. 6 and 7, Melania, in chapter 4. Is everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
4, 6? 6 through 7, Melania.
For nothing be...
Anxious,
but in everything by your prayer and but
supplication
with thanksgiving, let your
petitions
be made known unto God. And the peace of Yahweh, which riseth above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
Hold on just a second here. Now, when we go through this, most people are aware of the 6 and 7, especially 6 and 7. Okay, but we're going to go past that. We're going to go past this because, again, this is a guarding of the mind, a protecting of the mind to renew the mind. Okay, go ahead here. 8 and 9 there, if you would.
For the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are
dignified,
whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are chaste, yes, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if any praise, the same be taking into account. The things which ye have both learned and accepted and heard and seen in me, the same practice. And the God of peace shall be with you.
And that's it. And so we're putting it into practice. The same things that you've learned and accepted and seen, the same put into practice. And so we can also renew our mind from other believers who are walking and practicing these things. Because we see them and we're like, well, what makes him so special?
Yes.
Okay? He's got it. First of all, he knows he's got faith and he knows his authority. And by knowing the authority, we're like going, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the same thing. And guess what? Yahweh's like going, I have been waiting for you to say that for crying out loud. Come on! Grab hold. Let's do this. Because I've been waiting for those people. There's plenty to do out here, but not enough people that are willing to do it. And so by virtue of that, people fill the pews. But when it comes to the labor to get these things done, to step out in faith, there's a shortage. There's a shortage. And so to do that, the first thing a person has to do is to be able to pull themselves out. And again, like I said, the big thing of this is to get your mind set that you can act. Because your mind will lead you. And so if your mind is astray or wandering, you are going to be lost when that comes up. Now, you can maybe renew it really quick. A person may be able to say, I can renew this. I need to go sit, take 10 minutes out, speak in tongues, pray, sing a few songs to myself, and now I'm coming back and I'm ready to go. And so I'm going to take a short little break and I'll be right back with you. No problem. But this is where we learn to do this and learn to carry on that way. Okay. So I'll go ahead and close here, and then we'll have a word for anybody who's watching now or later. Yahweh, we thank you for the words you've given us. We thank you that we are able to have the mind of Christ, your Son, that we are fellow heirs and seated together. And so we thank you for that we put on the authority, that we speak the things as Christ has told us, that we have the authority and the power that everything that he did on this earth that we are able to do. And he said even more so because he was going to you, Yahweh. So we thank you for that we continually put that on and remind ourselves of this, and that we are looking for the opportunities to step out in faith, that by the faith we are well pleasing, and that it is a great smell, a great odor to you when we do these things in faith and walk out. So we thank you for that. We thank you for energizing us and just guarding us in our thoughts and our minds that we are with you, and that we stand for the principles of the words that you've written and given to us, and all the personal words and prophecies that you've given us to, that we reflect on these things and we come back to you knowing that these promises that you've given to us, as we look back and we recount them, we're like, oh, wow, that's been done. This has been done. As we look back and we reflect upon these things, that it's through these things we know that you are faithful and just. And so we thank you for this. We thank you for the words that you give, for just blessing everyone here, and for the supplications and intercessions that we have been speaking forth, that for anything we need to do, anything more, that we are able to stand up and lay on the hands and speak the healings and speak the deliverance. And we thank you for this through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My children, walk in peace, and know that as you walk in peace, that I will deliver you unto peace, that I will give you rest, and I will give you reward as well, that as you come to me, do not fear for the things that come through your mind, but cancel those things out. Cancel them out as you would something that is of horrible or putrid taste, that as you put it in your mouth and it is bitter, that you spit it out. I speak to you to do the same things of these from the world, knowing that the things that I give you will be things of peace and things of joy, that I will not give you or stir within you an anxiety or a fright, but I will give you peace and I will give you comfort and I will give you discernment. For even my own son, his parents, I had to move from one country to another. there was not fear, but there was understanding that through these things, that I will do this for you too. I will tell these things to you. For you are my children and you are fellow heirs of my son as you walk out before me. So stand in authority and come before me. Kneel down before me that I may be able to continually ordain you and give you new tasks and new guidance and new jobs. And the faith that you have, that I will build upon these things as you step one by one and build up block by block of this gorgeous temple that you have within you.